Chapter 16. Kilgallen's experience as a journalist, combined with Rutledge's testimony, enabled her to realize that Ruby's actions were designed to set himself up as reporter so he could gain access to police headquarters, the jail basement entrance, or wherever when the time was right. Like the other witnesses who had testified for the prosecution, Rutledge, a reporter and not a detective, had no reason to lie. He commented, "Jack was bent over like this, writing on a piece of paper and talking to one of the reporters and pointing to something on the piece of paper. He was kind of hunched over." Visualizing this happening, Kilgallen could doubtless conclude that Ruby was play-acting, cozying up to out-of-state reporters, and that by being hunched over, he was attempting to escape the attention of police officers or investigators who knew he wasn't a reporter. According to this testimony, Ruby continued to play a reporter while providing valuable information to the ones who didn't know who Henry Wade was. The strategy of continuing to blend in within proximity to where Oswald was being interrogated was working. But then one of the detectives almost blew Ruby's cover story when he wisely asked Ruby, "Hey, Jack, what are you doing here?" Only quick thinking on Ruby's part, first by calling the detective by name and then shouting, "I am helping all these fellows," saved the day. Fortunately for Ruby, the detective moved on and Ruby continued to help the other reporters while using them as cover since he had no business being in police headquarters in the first place. If what Kilgallen had witnessed and heard thus far during the Ruby trial wasn't enough to convince her there was much more to Ruby's story than was being told, this testimony had to have raised a red flag for one simple reason. Throughout the trial, Ruby would swear he never knew Oswald, yet the strip club owner knew enough about him to correct the answer regarding whether Oswald was a member of the Cuban movement in this country about the Free Cuba movement and the Fair Play for Cuba committee. Learning of what Ruby had said must have made her blink and hurry to scribble more notes in a growing file. At this point, Kilgallen must have begun to suspect Oswald and Ruby were indeed linked together prior to the assassinations, with the connection continuing through the assassinations themselves. Ruby's plan was almost exposed again by someone who believed that fellow Ruby ought not to be up here. The reporter Rutledge mentioned certainly agreed, according to Rutledge's testimony. Whether Kilgallen followed up with questions for Rutledge or any of the other witnesses away from the courtroom is unknown, but it makes common sense that she would have done so, thus confirming what these witnesses saw and heard, assessing their credibility through her own inquiry. Kilgallen must have blinked again in disbelief at this testimony that Jack Ruby was actually calling Henry Wade Henry, as if they were close friends. Why Ruby felt he could do this without objection from Wade boggles the mind, leading to important questions about Wade's relationship with Ruby, a relationship sufficiently close to let the strip club owner set up telephone interviews for him. With Kilgallen's journalistic instincts fully awakened, she doubtless understood the need to continue her investigation. Who actually shot JFK and why? And why did Ruby shoot Oswald? Too many unanswered questions remained for a journalist of her caliber to be satisfied with quick judgments and hasty conclusions. Way too many questions.